pastor's fault. Well, are you ready to be blessed this morning?
Amen.
I'm excited about today's service and what it will bring to us. It's on my heart. It's something that we've preached before a lot on, but when the Lord encourages me to go back over things, I just know that it's part of it is to get into the people more. I always tell the story, you know, that important things at our house and safety things with the kids, we don't just tell them one time. We tell them over and over and over and over again because we want that to get inside them. Amen? We want it to become second nature to them. We want them to walk that out. And so I know that by the Holy Ghost, people can pick up the slack in this area and it'll bring great change and help in your life. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the word this morning. Father, we're so grateful, so thankful for all that you've done. And Lord, I just am so humbled to be able to preach the word to your people this morning. People that you love so much, you gave them Jesus, died for them. And Lord, I love them dearly and just so grateful. And so, Father, this is not a light thing. So, Lord, we need to hear from heaven is what I'm trying to say. So, Father, I thank you you'll speak through me. My words won't be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank you I'll open my mouth wide and you'll fill it. Like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. We'll hit bullseyes here today. Help, answers, directions will be given to people. And Father, we'll go from glory to glory. We don't stay the same. So Father, we thank you for what's about to take place. We already expect great things to happen and great change to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, this is Paul writing, he says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. You ever seen the publisher's clearinghouse, you know, and they open the door and tell them you've won? There's rejoicing, right? What are they doing? They're yelling, they're jumping, they're screaming, they're shouting, they're high-fiving, they're rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. And he says, just in case you didn't get it the first time, again I say, rejoice. See, Paul was even stressing it over and over again. He said it twice because he wanted people to get it, because Paul knew that there was something to praise that people needed to get in their lives. I was, many people know this story, but that's okay. Some people don't know it, but even if we do know it, the cool thing about Brother Hagin's ministry is for 40, 50 years, he told the same stories, and every time you heard a story, you got something different out of it, or same verses and things. It's just because the word is always alive and well. And I was preaching on Philippians 4 and verse 4 one time, and as I was preaching on Philippians 4 and verse 4, I remember a thought came to me about a situation that I had encountered while I was preaching. And the thought of what I was preaching, or when I was preaching, the thought that came to me was a time that I had gone bear hunting on a day that I shouldn't have gone bear hunting. I had appointments in the afternoon, and down in Pennsylvania they have a 4-day bear season. They're changing it now, but at that time it was 3 or 4 days. And it was really snowy, like winter storm warning and things, and so it took me a little longer to get there, longer to get home, but I was a little crazy about hunting, you know, and I had parked my vehicle off the side of this dirt road, and I had gotten it stuck. I didn't know at the time, but I had pushed the limit to the time I should hunt, rushed back to my vehicle, knew I had to get back, shower, change, get a suit on, and get out to my appointment. And I was stuck, and I couldn't get out. And I'm sitting there spinning the wheels, spinning the wheels, spinning the wheels, needing to go, looking at the time. Time's getting closer and closer. I know how much time it's going to take me to get back, get ready, and get to where I need to go. And it's an appointment I couldn't miss, you know. I just didn't have a lot of wisdom that day. And I'm feeling it. You know, you start to feel that stress come right from the bottom of your feet up or down, top to bottom, however it comes for you. And I'm feeling that, you know. And your mind's not really working right when you're feeling that way. And I'm spinning my wheels and I'm going, trying to go reverse and trying to go forward just a little bit. And then all of a sudden I had a revelation. I have 4-wheel drive. I had a revelation. I have 4-wheel drive. Pop that puppy into 4-wheel drive and off I went. I know you think that's dumb, Pastor Mike. It's a true story. It happened. And so when I was preaching on that, the Lord gave me that, at first my mind didn't grasp, my heart did, and then my heart enlightened my mind. So that's what we'll do when you start to live by the Spirit, is the Spirit of God will talk to you and it will enlighten your mind. It doesn't come from your thoughts. And it enlightened my mind of what it was about, was that Philippians 4, 4, 4 by 4, 4-wheel drive. The Lord was telling me something. And that Paul was stressing to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I tell you, rejoice. Because there's something about praise that if you'll walk into a life of praise. I don't just mean singing a song for a little bit on Sunday morning. What we were doing today after and worshiping God and you were getting stirred up, that's praising and rejoicing God. Well, that's not just an action or a going through the motions of something that we do as Christians. There's great power in praise. Just like four-wheel drive, what the Lord was showing me on that, just like four-wheel drive, what does four-wheel drive do? It takes you places that you can't go normally with a regular two-wheel drive. I know, I used to hunt with a Ford Taurus that didn't have four-wheel drive, and I couldn't get to some of the fields that I can get to now. I couldn't cross some of the creeks that I can cross now. Couldn't get out of some of the places that I would. So it takes you places you can't go, and it will get you out of places that you're stuck. Stuck what? Needing answers. Stuck needing healing. Needing deliverance. Needing a touch from heaven. Needing a revelation. So when he was saying four-wheel drive and gave me that, I knew exactly what it meant. Four by four, that praise is like four-wheel drive. Gets you places you can't go and takes you out of places you can't get out yourself. And so let's see what that says here in the Word about this, because there's such power in praise. And if I could get you to become praisers. Again, I don't just mean when we sing songs. Hallelujah. I'll get to that as well. But the reason that there's power in praise is because there's something. Now, again, I don't understand all of this. I just know what the Word says that happens. Just like I use the example all the time with a light switch, you know, that I'm not very knowledgeable with electricity and how things work. I don't know why when I do this, that happens. I just know it does. So I don't walk into a dark room and I can't see and I go to the light switch. I say, you know, I don't know how this works. So because I don't know how it works, I'm not going to partake of it. No, I don't care if I don't know how it works. I just know it works. So I'm going to do it. Yeah. Amen. Well, it's the same way. I don't understand what we're going to look at today as far as why, in the sense of understand how it all works and God sets all things up. We're going to see some things in the Word that help us to understand. But I don't question these things. I just do them. See, if you're going to be analytical with the things of God, you're going to struggle. Yeah. You know, some of the people I find that struggle the most are the most education, most people that have the most education and the most natural wits struggle the most with the things of God. Yeah. It's dummies like me that don't have problem with it. I'm not smart enough to question it naturally. You know what I mean? I just, you say it, Lord, okay, I'm dumb enough to believe it and it works. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the truth. And so there's such power in praise. Go to Psalms 22 and verse 3. I want to show you some things here. Psalms 22 and verse 3. It says, but you are holy, O you that inhabits. What's inhabit? It means to dwell. It means to live, to inhabit. You inhabit where your address. You inhabit there. You dwell there. You live there. Well, the Bible says that the Lord lives or dwells or shows up. In where? The praises of Israel, or you could, one translation says his people, because back then in the Old Testament, Israel was his people. So the Bible says, well, you're more his people now than they were. You're his children. The Bible says that the Lord, God, now remember, when God goes out of the house and goes to your situations, of course, he's always with you, you know what I mean. He doesn't leave his power at home. He doesn't leave his provision at home. He doesn't leave his healing power at home. Wherever he goes, what encompasses him goes with it. Amen. He said, I will be. Well, when you say I will be, we're talking about healing, prosperity, deliverance, wisdom, whatever you need. He said, I will be where my people praise. And we're going to see here that in praise, not only is he there because God is always with us, but the manifested presence of God is not something that we always are enjoying or walking into. What do I mean by that? Well, just like use the light example again. We talked about this before. If the lights are shut off and you come in here, it doesn't mean that the electricity is not on. I could turn that light switch off and the lights go off, but the electricity has not been shut off. The power is still flowing, right? You just got to learn to cooperate with it. Well, it's the same with God. His manifested presence is like this. It's like the lights coming on. God always is with you everywhere. Just like Brother Hagin said, he said there's enough power of God to raise every sick person up, Jesus told him this, out of every sick bed in every hospital in the world. Well, God is everywhere. He's omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere. But God's power or manifested presence is not always seen. Well, praise is one way to flip the light switch on to get his manifested presence. That's what we want. Amen. His manifested presence. He said, I will be in the praise of my people. And then we're going to see here. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 13. I'm going to show you some places where God's manifested presence showed up when people praised. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 13. Praise God. There's a secret in praise that needs to be unlocked in your life. Again, I'm not just talking about, Lord, bless this food in Jesus' name. No, I'm talking about getting into worship, getting into praise. It turns him on. He shows up in those situations. The Bible says it came even to pass. Now, again, if we're talking about this, the Bible will back it up. It came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound. That's that one accord business that we try to push around here. Yeah. Amen. Now, nobody's going to be doing their own thing around here. We're all on the same page, going the same direction. The singers were one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. So what's the sound they're doing? They're making sounds to praise and thank the Lord. What? Rejoice in the Lord always. Well, the Lord said, I'll show up. He said, I inhabit the praises of my people. He says, praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the instruments, the trumpets, the cymbals, and instruments of music, and praised the Lord. Now, let's look at this now. They lifted up their voice. Oh, you don't want me to get started now. Oh, I'm going to tip over some sacred cows here today. I might do that. Now, just so you know, I had my sacred cow tipped over, and I'm glad it was. Those sacred cows are standing in the way of your blessing. They lifted up their voice to praise God. Doing this in your seat when worship's going and pastor's saying, come on, lift your voice and praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're out of the will of God. Tip. Tip. Stomp. Stomp. I'm just telling you. They lifted up their voice together in one accord. Now we'll see the result of this, and then we wonder, why don't we see things like this? Because we can't get everybody to do the same thing. The church in the book of Acts, they were in one accord, lifted up their voice together, doing the same thing, and God showed up. He likes one accord. Well, look what happened here now. They lifted up their voice and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good above their normal tone of voice. For he is good and his mercy endureth forever. We were saying that today, but I'll bet there were people just not even doing it and just saying, he's good. His mercy endures forever. Now we're not mad at you coming down here. I'm trying to get the church into a place and get you into a place. Amen. Amen. Now notice this, not before then. After what? After people lifted their voice, praised him together, then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Now, God was already in that house, but his manifested presence had not shown up yet. So that the priests could not stand to minister. That's why people fall out. When the power of God shows up and manifests the presence, the natural can't stand up at times. To reason by the cloud, they couldn't stand up. Why? For the glory of the Lord. What's that? His manifested presence. What you need in your life. The glory of the Lord. If you'll begin to worship God, the glory of the Lord will come into your bedroom. It'll come into your car. What do I mean by the glory of the Lord? Well, we're going to see some of the things today that the glory of the Lord brings. Answers, deliverances, help, direction, things like that will come to you if you'll praise him. It says that the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Now, he was there the whole time. Why? He's always everywhere. He was there, but what flipped the switch? Praise. Praise flipped the switch and God showed up. Wow. Glory to God. Lifted up their voice. Now, while I'm on this, go to Psalm 63, because I might as well just tip them all over right now. Psalm 63. It's all right. You've all been with me long enough. You know what's going to come out of me. We ain't going to fluff it up here. Psalm 63. Where in the world? There it is. Psalms is one of the easiest ones to find. Just go to the middle. Couldn't find it. Psalm 63. Let's go to verse 3. Now look at this. Again, talking about, now I'm mostly talking about this on the outside of the walls, but we need to bring it on the inside of the walls too. Actually, the inside of the walls is where he practices. Praising with everybody in one accord, you know, everybody's doing it, you know. The thoughts that you're getting that, oh, I might be weird or people are looking at me, those are just lies of the devil. Nobody's looking at you, nobody cares. They're, and if anybody cares about what someone else is doing, they're in the wrong because they should be just focusing on him. Amen? Well, look what the word says. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. This is not praise. It's not praise. Oh, God knows what I'm saying. So you're going to treat God lesser than you would a human being. Don't you shower love onto people, family members, friends. You shower love. You tell them thank you. You give your appreciation to them. Are they just supposed to assume that you're thankful? Supposed to assume that you love them? Come on now. Don't treat God lesser than you would a person. Oh, God just understands. Well, then why did David say, because my lips are going to praise you? Verse 4. Thus will I bless you. See, that's what it is. It's about blessing him. The problem is with praise and worship, you've become too you-conscious. And you don't do it because you're so self-conscious. No, worship is about being God-conscious. He says, I'll bless you, Lord, while I live. How am I going to bless you? I'm not going to be worried about what I think, what other people think. I'm going to lift my hands. Say, why do we lift hands? Are we just trying to be that Pentecostal charismatic church? No, we're trying to be the Bible church. Amen. How does God, what blesses the Lord? When you praise him out of here and you worship him with your hands. Say, why? I don't know. Why don't you ask him? Yeah. All I know is that's what he says. That's enough for me. Amen. Lift my hands. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Hebrews 13, I didn't expect to get to hear this quick, just so you know. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice. What is a sacrifice? You might not feel like doing it. You might not be comfortable doing it. You look in the Bible, there's one thing I've found, many things I've found about God, but one thing that stands out to me is God does not give a rip about your comfort level when he tells you to do something. Hey, Abraham, go up and sacrifice your son. Oh, that's real comfortable. Moses, stand at the Red Sea and slam that stick on the water. Well, that's comfortable in a time when the Egyptians are bearing down on you. Jesus, go to the cross. Not comfortable. God's not interested in comfort level. He's interested in what works and what gets people into a blessing. He says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. What is the sacrifice of praise to God continually? That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Amen. Again, we treat God less than a human. Someone blesses you and does something for you and you walk up to him. Or you walk up to him. It's true. It's the truth. We want to get into some of these things and we can't even get the foundations of worshiping our God. Well, I know a lot of times we need to get past ourselves. We do. We need to renew our minds. Absolutely. And that's okay. But at some point we step out. I remember the first time I got my hand to here. I thought, woo, I'm doing it now. And I actually went to this. I thought, and then this. And now I can give a rip. Who cares? Thinks what? Why? I care about pleasing him, not you. And you should feel the same way. Praise the Lord. Now, go with me to Acts chapter 16 and verse 16. You want to be a doer of the word? Do you? When Pastor Mike says, come on and praise the Lord, that's not a suggestion. That's saying, I know how to get us into some things. A lot of times moves of God happen on Wednesday nights. Get real hungry people that come out to Wednesday nights and they'll worship and praise God and worship, praise God, and we'll have gifts of the Spirit happen. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, gifts of healings and things happen. Why? We get into praise and worship. We're not thinking about ourselves. Well, sometimes on Sunday morning, sometimes it can be a little different crowd than a Wednesday night. It can be at times. It's just the way it is at times. Now, we want it to be the same all the time. Hallelujah. And come in here on a Sunday morning with the purpose of worshiping God and getting into the flow and being in one accord. Praise God. We're trying to get into some things here. Acts chapter 16. Now, I'm going to just, for time's sake, this is the story of when Paul and Silas, Paul was told to go to Macedonia in a vision. He went over there. He cast the devil out of a girl that was being tormented by Satan. Cast the devil out of her. And this girl was being used by her own, I guess she was kind of like slave owners were using her to prosper off the demonic gift that was being used to her. Paul cast that devil out of her. She was no longer able to tell fortunes or tell the future. And so then she wasn't making money. Nobody was sitting down to pay her to have their fortunes be read. And so now they can't use it. So that makes the masters mad because now they're losing their income. So they beat Paul and Silas and throw them into prison. Go to verse 22, Acts 16, verse 22. This is after Paul and Silas had cast them out. They got Paul and Silas. It says, the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Boy, people will do things for money. The love of money is the root of all evil. And the multitude, they beat them. It says, verse 23, when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. Didn't just say the prison, you study the Roman prisons. The inner prison is the worst part of the prison. The darkest part of the prison. The coldest part of the prison. Now remember, their clothes are tore off, they're beat, and their feet made fast in stocks. They're in a bad situation, aren't they? A real bad situation. Now isn't it interesting? They're in there, and God's with them. God's with them. You know where God is? He's in the middle of your financial crisis right now. He's there. When you're in the doctor's office and the report comes back impossible or negative, guess who's with you? God is there. And guess what he's got with him? Everything you need to turn that situation around. That situation in your marriage, that situation with your kids, that situation with your job, you need answers, you need direction, you don't know what to do about a business situation, you don't know what to do about this situation, don't know what to do about that situation. How many of you know, in that time of confusion, in that time of not knowing, God is with you. And guess what he's got with you? His answers. Your answers are with him. He's got your answers. Well, they're there. How many of you know, the lights are off, they need the light switch turned on. Because the only thing that's going to get them out of this is the power of God. Does anybody here need the power of God to get them out of some things? To deliver them from some things that have been going on? You've been going around the same mountain, spinning the same wheels, and there's no natural hope for it? Oh yeah, we all experience those things. Well, Paul, this is the writer of the one that said, rejoice in the Lord always, and I just want to remind you, it's so important. Again, I say rejoice. Paul knew some things. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. What's that? They went to God. Oh, you mean you don't go to Facebook and your friends? No. The first place you ought to go is to God. The Bible says in James, over there in James, it says, if any of you is afflicted, this is James chapter 5, if any of you is afflicted, let him pray. What's he saying? If you're going through something, the first person you go to is God. We get in the habit of wanting our conscience eased and wanting, you know, just someone to pet us and stuff. And we go to people. He's our answer. I'm not saying people can't help. Don't misunderstand me. But if any among you afflicted, let him pray. Let him pray. Notice it doesn't even say go to the pastor first. Now there's biblical precedent where you can bring your things to me and I'll agree with you. But if people ask you, pastor, will you just pray for this? Not if you're not praying for it. Because the Bible says the afflicted one's the one that's to pray. I'm to agree with what you're praying for. Right. Amen. Amen. You need your belief on that. They prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. So what did they do? They didn't do it quietly because the other prisoners heard them. Why? Praise and worship's not quiet. I don't care what background, what the devil's telling you, what your self-conscious is telling you. Praise and worship biblically is not silent. It's not quiet. It's not low. There are times of reverence and being still and quiet before the Lord. But there are also times of praise and worship when our voices are lifted up and we are magnifying God. Paul knew the power of it. So what did he do? He lifted up his voice with Silas. They prayed and praised God. The prisoners heard them. Well, what does praise do? God dwells in praise. In 2 Chronicles, God showed up in praise. What does praise do? It flips the light switch for the manifested presence of God to show up. Well, did it? Well, sure did. And suddenly, verse 26, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Great deliverance happened when people praised God. Amen. Chains were broken. Anybody need chains broken? Bondages destroyed. Bondages of depression. Bondages of fear. Bondages of sadness and loneliness. Praise. And I'll get to that in a second. Brother Hagin told the story of a missionary woman who had contracted smallpox. And this was before there was a vaccine for this disease. And so it was a lot of times deadly and it resulted in people not living from it. And she had contracted smallpox. And so she did the right thing. She went to the Lord on it. And the Holy Ghost spoke to her and gave her a vision. And she got a vision of an old-time scale. And on that scale, you know, with the two balances, one of the sides of the scale was way up, which means there wasn't much weight on it, and the other one was weighed way down. Well, the one that was weighed way down said prayer on it. The one that was high in the air, which means there wasn't much weight on it, said praise. And the Holy Ghost said, when your praise equals your prayer, you'll be healed. Why? Because there's something to praise. They prayed and praised in Acts chapter 16. Remember when it says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but by everything with prayer and thanksgiving. Right. Supplication is prayer. It says prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. Supplication is just a form of prayer. You can't leave out in the deliverance part, in the help part, the praising part. And she had prayed, and people pray. We pray, because we want our answers. That's how we get our answers. We pray. And the Holy Ghost said, when the scale is equal and your praise is equal to your prayers, you'll be healed. So for the next 2 days, she never prayed one time. All she did was praise God. Father, I praise you. You're the healer. You're Jehovah Rapha. I praise you. I thank you. This disease is gone. I praise you. Only you can do it, Lord, for 2 days straight. And guess what? Healed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's not just for her, that was for us. The Lord told Brother Hagin, he said, if my people would praise me, the answer would come quicker. That's what he said. If my people would praise me, the answer would come quicker. Well, we see answers coming to people, deliverance is coming to people, God's showing up when people praise him. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't have time to turn there because I'm not trying to preach it all the whole Bible, you know, one sitting here, but think about Jericho. Remember, they had just come out of 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Why did they wander in the wilderness? Because they had doubt and unbelief about getting into the promised land because of what was already there. The walls, the cities, the fortresses, the people, the armies that were already there. Well, when they get out of 40 years, guess what's still there? The wall. First thing they had to get in the promised land was to get past a wall. And Joshua let them in, and what did the Lord say? He said, for 6 days, go around the city one time. He said, on the seventh day, go around the city 7 times. And when you're done 7 times, start to blow the instruments and get people a-shouting. Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. He doesn't say stand there. He doesn't say stand there and think it or think about yourself. No, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. And what'd they do at the seventh day? Now you'd think, Lord, you'd think naturally. You would tell the Lord, I remember I told the story last night about the time the Lord told me to apply for a job, and on the job application it said bachelor's degree required, master's degree preferred, and I only had an associate's degree, so I went past the job. The Lord had me go back to that ad, and he said apply for the job, and the first thing out of my mouth, like the little cocky, little arrogant guy I was at the time, I said, Lord, can you read? Of course he can. He knows what he's talking about. The first thing I would have thought, march around the city. You already had us do this 6 days. March around the city 7 times and then blow the instruments and the trumpets. We have a wall in front of us. Let's try it. I'm going to see if this works. The wall is still standing there. I knew that after I did, I knew the wall wasn't coming down. Didn't you? I apologize for what you just had to witness. But it got the point across because that's the first thing I would have thought. Lord, we have a wall in front of us. What's an instrument and yelling going to do? Nothing unless he tells you to do it. And so what did they do? They got there and started doing this and blowing this and woohoo and shouting and praising God. And what happened? The wall came down. Praise God. Anybody need some walls to come down? Yeah. Praise will do that. Praise will knock down the walls. Amen. Knock down the walls of sickness. Knock down the walls of depression and fear and anxiety. Praise God. Great deliverance comes from praise. Does anybody here like increase? I like increase. I remember hearing one time they were talking about a rock star that had millions and millions and millions of dollars. And they were posed a question about they could either get, they had a chance to get no money or someone was going to give them just a few bucks. And they jumped on the fact that take the few bucks. And people were amazed. Why would they care about the $2? And the rock star said, more is always better. What's $2 do for him? Not much, but it's more. Right. I like increase. Amen. Helps me be a bigger blessing. Helps me be better to my family. Amen. Helps me to help people. Well, if you like increase, then you better like praising. Right. Psalm 67. Let's go to Psalm 67. Psalm 67 and verse 5. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hold your place. Well, you just stay there. Don't turn this place. Janae, will you just put up real quick Psalm 35, 27? Because just in case you're confused at what praise is, I want to point it out again if you haven't got it yet. Psalms 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy. Amen, yeah. Amen, Candace. And be glad that favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let them say, let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord be magnified. Okay, so that's what the Bible's telling you to do. Shout for joy. Go back to Psalm 67 and verse 5. Psalm 67 and verse 5 says, let the people praise thee, O God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! We worship you, Lord. We praise you. Glorify you. Yeah. Some of you need to get some of that on you. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. What's that? Lifting your voice, shouting to him, worshiping. Then, verse 6 says, then, not before then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, will bless us. When? After we praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I remember, I'm going to tell a couple stories here that will bless you here. That story when I was at the Durant meetings in May of 2002, April or May 2002, spring. And they're laying hands on people. People are falling out. People are being blessed. And I'm questioning the whole thing. Well, you remember what Pastor Mike did the night before the last meeting? I went into my apartment and just worshiped God. I worshiped Him and said, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't get it, but I trust my pastor. And if it's in the Word, He'll show me later when time to sit down with me. I don't get all this. But Father, I want more of You. I want more of You. I just worship. I want more of You. Well, the Bible says if I'll praise, increase will come. And increase came the next night. When the minister called me out of everybody. No one in the whole church got ministered to except for me that night. Calls me out. Says, you want more of God? It's like, I got a peeping Tom preacher. He was listening to my prayers last night, my worship. I said, you bet I do. I stood up there, you know, and put my hands in the air. And I felt the tangible presence of God and knocked me off my feet. And I flew back 2 feet and I laid glued to that ground. And afterward, I said, how hard did He hit me? And Pastor Tim and Reverend Randy said, He didn't come within 2 feet of you. The power. He said, be blessed. And the power went from Him into me, knocked me off my feet. And what that did for me, you say, well, how'd that bring you increase? It turned me on to the supernatural. It got me hungry for God. See, some of you are in natural situations that look like they're never going to change. You need the supernatural to turn them around. The supernatural. How can you bring the supernatural in your situation? Praise. Praise. And I know what you thought. How's that going to change? How's that going to change? Think about the wall. What's praise going to do for my marriage? What's praise going to do for my kids? What's praise going to do for my money? What's praise going to do for a wall? It's going to knock that thing down. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen to this story Pastor Nancy told. This is awesome. For a year and a half after Dr. Dufresne went home to be with Jesus, she said she was tormented for a year and a half. Just oppression like she had never experienced before, and she didn't know what in the world was going on. For 3 to 6 hours a day, she spent in the Word and prayer to get answers, to figure this out. For a year and a half, 3 to 6 hours a day trying to get this oppression off of her. I mean, it's just all over her. Assault after assault after assault. And so she's praying and in the Word trying to get this figured out. And the Holy Ghost reminded her of something. The Holy Ghost reminded her, and the words came up from her heart, the praise cure. The praise cure. And the Holy Ghost reminded her about the woman, that missionary that Brother Hagin told the story of the missionary that contracted smallpox. And the Lord said, when your praise equals your praying, you'll be healed. She said, for the next 2 weeks, she says, now, a lot of people look at her straight. She said, I didn't touch my Bible once. She said, I didn't pray one time for the next 2 weeks. I spent 2 weeks straight doing nothing but praying, praising God. That's it. Never touched my Bible. See, there's a time for different things. What was she doing? Heavy on the Word. Yeah, it's good to be heavy on the Word. Heavy on the praying, but you can't leave out the praise. For 2 weeks straight, she's praising God. And she said it was dry, dry, dry. A lot of times listen, when you're oppressed, you don't feel like running, jumping, shouting, and praising. That's the very time you need to be doing it. Hallelujah. Praise God. And she's praising God for 2 weeks, and she says it's dry. It's like she'd just get up and be like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Brother Hagin would talk about you start in the flesh, you'll end up in the spirit. Right. What does that mean? When you're sick, when I was laying in bed with that, the effects of the appendicitis that I waited, and the surgery that I had, I didn't feel like doing anything but laying there and sulking. Right. That's not how the answers come. When you're broke or you're going through a marriage situation or a family situation or a kid, you don't feel like doing this. Paul and Silas didn't feel like doing this. They didn't feel like doing this. You're not going to feel like doing it. This came to me last time I had preached on this. If I was stranded on a deserted island. You ever see the movie Castaway with Tom Hanks? He was deserted on a plane crash. He was deserted on a desert island, you know. And we hear stories of this. You know, people get lost at sea, stranded and things. It's not super common, but it happens. If you're stranded on a desert island, how many of you know Taco Bell is not available? Tacos are not available. Chicken McNuggets, unfortunately, are not an island food out in the middle of nowhere. Steaks and hamburgers and all these things and pasta. But you know what is available? Seafood. You learn how to fish, learn how to spear, get some fish, crabs, whatever. How many of you know, you can go and be stranded on that desert island, and you can sit there and be stubborn. I don't like eating seafood. It's not my cup of tea. You know, talking about not feeling about it, having thoughts of, this is not what I grew up doing. And you can have thoughts like that. Well, I don't feel like doing it. Like Pastor Nancy, I don't feel like doing this. Paul and Silas don't feel like doing it. At the wall in Jericho, I don't feel like doing this. Well, it doesn't make sense. How's it going to change my money? How's it going to change my marriage? How's it going to change my body? Don't feel like doing this. And you could say, I don't want to eat seafood. I'm not eating seafood. That's not me. I don't like it. Okay, don't eat seafood. You'll die. What's he saying? Praise me. What's he saying? Praise me when you don't feel like it. Praise me when it's uncomfortable. Praise God. That's what he's saying. And Pastor Nancy said it was so dry. And she was getting bombarded in her mind. You're putting the Bible down? You're not praying anymore? And the devil was just assaulting her. But the Holy Ghost gave her a word. The praise cure. Praise cure. And she's getting assaulted. See, the devil will attack you any way he can. And he's attacking her. You're putting the Bible down? You're not praising anymore? You're not praying anymore? She said, for 2 weeks, she said, I'm just going to do what the Holy Ghost said. Praise, praise, praise. And she did. After 2 weeks, it was revealed to her in the Spirit, the demon that was harassing her, and the Lord told her in the Spirit exactly how to deal with that thing. And after a year and a half of 3 to 6 hours in the Word, in a moment time, in 2 weeks of praising God, the answer came. She dealt with that demonic thing, and it left her forever.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. The praise cure. Go to Isaiah 61 and verse 3. We're almost done. Isaiah 61, 3. Man, it's good to be back. I hope you feel the same way about me. I think it's good to be back with you today. I always try, he doesn't do this, but I try to tell Pastor Scott, you know, don't be too good when you come. I want people to want me to come back and be glad that I'm there. And you can't love him that much, you know. Love him a little bit, but not that much. And Isaiah 61 and verse 3. Oppression dominates people. Well, he said, if I'll praise, I'll show up. If you praise, it'll bring increase. Isaiah 61 verse 3 says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise. For what? For something. When I think of garment in Western New York, you know, one of the things that was so annoying as a parent with young kids is getting them all bundled up in the wintertime. Takes forever, right? You want to get all the little parts bundled up. You don't want anything exposed. And I never felt like doing that. I knew it was the right thing to do. Never felt like putting those garments on Caleb and Abby. It's just, we're going somewhere, you know? It's such a pain. It's just, we don't feel like doing that. But it's the best thing for them. Well, why did you put the garment on? For the cold. For the elements. He says here, put on the garment of praise. So that tells you right there, it's a garment. We just discussed, you don't always put on garments just because you feel like doing it. You do it because it's the right thing to do. He says, put on the garment of praise for, this is like you put on the winter coat for the elements. You put on the sunglasses for the sun to protect your eyes. Right? You'll put on those things for something. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Which is what? Oppression, depression, feeling down, gloom, discouragement. Like there's no hope, no answer. He says if you'll put on praise and put it on and keep it on, it will destroy the yoke, that burden that's on you of oppression. And remember the story that I told over there in the old building. We know the story, but it's so supernatural that it's worth repeating. Preached on praise one day, and I was given the salvation call, and I had went long, surprisingly. I went long. Listen, you think I go long? Go sit in one of Pastor Tim's sermon. That's long. He's a great preacher and teacher, but I don't preach long. An hour's not long. That boy can preach long. Woo! Now, if you go there this week, you don't tell them anything I say. What happens in South Dayton stays in South Dayton. Do not violate the trust we have here. I'm serious about that. Anyways, what was I even talking about? Praise about what? Slipped my mind. The old building, there we go, thank you. I heard all these voices, I thought, what in the world? And I had gone long, that's what we're talking about, going long. And I was given the salvation call, and this verse came up in my heart. And when the verse came up in my heart, the testimony of when I had almost killed myself was all, Lord was ministering to me as I was, and he told me, share the scripture and give your testimony. And I knew I'd give the testimony in the terms of, I would have never been in that vehicle with a gun in my mouth had I known what I know now. So when he said that, it was for somebody. I didn't know who it was, had no idea, had no situation, no prior knowledge. So I get done and I tell people this, I know we've been here long, it's getting ready, getting close to lunch and things. You can leave if you want to, but nobody did. And I said, but I have to obey God or I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. So I said, put up Isaiah 61:3, put up Isaiah 61:3. And I said, look what praises for this garbage. And then I gave my testimony about almost killing myself. I said, had I known now, because this is what I do now when those same thoughts come to me. The same exact thoughts that I had that put me in the cavalier that I was in with a gun in my mouth are the same thoughts the devil still uses on me to try to pull me over into depression and oppression. It's a spirit. He knows how to work on people. Some people he works with bitterness. Some people he works on with grudges. Some people he works on with offense. Some people he works on with depression. And he'll just push the buttons. You got to learn to deal with it with the word. Well, now I know what I know. I don't end up in vehicles anymore. I don't end up in the pit of darkness like I was before. Why? I know how to combat him now. When that spirit of heaviness and oppression tries to get on me, I don't just sit there and sulk. I know what I have to do. I'm going out in the elements. The elements are coming spiritually. I got to put on a garment. And so I start to praise. And so I told that testimony of how if I'd have known. Well, what I was doing, I didn't know at the time, is I was ministering somebody's help. Somebody's answer in their situation. Well, at the end of service, there was a group of ladies over. Some of you might have even been some of those ladies that were around a lady that was in the church, and she was bawling her eyes out. She said, Pastor, you need to come talk to her. And so they all left, and I was talking to her in private. I said, what's going on? She said, Pastor, when you were closing the service during the salvation call, this was before I announced that I had another verse to preach on, I was going to go longer. She said, I had made up my mind. I drew a line in the sand. I was going home to hang myself. I had settled it within me. I'm not doing this anymore. This depression is too much. Listen, when you get to the point where you think that taking your life is the best option, first of all, let me tell you, it's a lie from the pit of hell, but it's a dark place to be. And she thought that was the best solution in her mind. She said, I had made up my mind to hang myself. But then you started preaching on Isaiah 61:3 and how your situation would be different and how you are now different. And she said, finally. She said, I've been to counselors. I've taken medicine. I'm not against counselors and medicine, but there's some things that natural help will not break through. You need supernatural. She said, I've been everyone and nothing helped me. She said, I finally have an answer. I finally have an answer. I said, yo, you got an answer. We hugged. She's still alive and well to this day. Amen. Praise God. He meets us where we're at. He meets us where we're at, praise the Lord. God is so good. Amen. I don't know why I'm going to, well, real quick to close, go to Romans 4 and verse 20. God is so good to us. I remember the story that Kevin Durant told, just talking about God. It's a little bit off track, but it's just to bring out how good God is. He was telling the story about the minister who was given a salvation call. And in the salvation call, the Lord said, at the end of the salvation call, yell out the term elephants and knot holes. Elephants and knot holes. And he said, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Salvation call goes on and on and on, and the Spirit of God tells him again, when you're done, yell out the term elephants and knot holes. And, just kept denying, I'm not doing that. Finally gave in. He said, I don't know why I'm doing this. Forgive me. Elephants and knot holes, he says. And a woman in the back starts weeping. He's like, well, that struck a nerve. So I don't remember if he went back to her or called her up. But come to find out, she had said in the service, If the minister doesn't say the term elephants and knot holes today, I'm going home to kill myself. Because when she was younger, they picked on her for her size and said it was something like, you're as big as an elephant, you couldn't fit through a knot hole. Something, it was something mean to her. So that term had been, and he said, if the Lord cares about me, the minister's going to say that. And the minister said, elephants and knot holes. Praise God. He's so good. A woman in our service is going to go kill herself, and God interrupts. Romans 4:20. The Bible says, this is talking about Abraham. Remember, Abraham was in a trial of what? Being an old man and promised that he's going to have a son, wanting a son desperately with his wife Sarah. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Janae, would you please pull this up in the Amplified? Now see, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. I could tell you about this stuff, but unless you start doing it, it won't matter. I told you in that slick text, I'm going to give you something that you can do that will bring deliverance, increase to your life, power, whatever I said in that text, that'll bring it if you'll do this. It says, no unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubt, and question concerning the promise of God. How could Abraham get to the point of having faith where he's so old, his wife's womb is dead, his body's just as good as dead as far as being able to have a baby? How can he get to that place of full faith? He grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave glory to God. Amen. So what was Abraham doing? Father, you can do this. You're greater than my body. You're greater than my wife's womb. You're greater than what the doctors say. You are the God of the miracles, signs, and wonders. Father, you can do anything. Nothing's too hard. What's he doing? He's praising God. Now, this is what I want to tell you about doing this to get walk out of here practically. To give you something practical as you walk out of here. When tests and trials come, what does the devil try to do? He tries to get you into a place of worry, doubt, fear, anxiety. Why? Because they're not faith. If I can get you the immediate time a doctor's report shows up, the immediate time an unexpected bill shows up, an unfavorable circumstance shows up, if I can get your first reaction to be praising Him and get vertical, what will happen is you'll grow in faith. Why? It takes your attention off the problem and puts your attention on the solution. And the problem is people are thinking, oh, what am I do about this money? What am I do about this doctor's report? Thinking. And it's destroying your faith. It's leading you into a path of worry, fear, anxiety, and stress. The minute fear, worry, anxiety, and stress try to get on you and in your mind, or a situation outward comes to you, get vertical. Yeah. What will happen? You'll grow strong and be empowered by faith. What's faith? Faith is your vehicle for change. Amen. Faith moves mountains. But you can't stay strong in faith without worshiping. Because worship will take your attention off the problem and put it on the solution. Let's stand to our feet and worship Him. Now I want you to think of it. Now it is important to say that we got to make sure though that we don't just do this out of a technical doing. He's still our Father. We know it brings benefits. Just like I know sowing into that roof fund, I know that's going to lead to increase. I know it. I can't wait to see it happen. But my motivation first is I want to take care of this house. I worship Him knowing what will happen. But my first thing in worshiping Him is I love Him. I love Him. Amen? So we got to make sure that we don't just go through the motions just to try to get something, but that it's a relationship, that child to father. Now let's just close our eyes and be doers of the word this morning. You've heard how to praise. Just begin to worship Him. Father, we magnify You. We glorify You. I dare you to lift your voice up. I just dare you. We praise You. We worship You. We glorify You. We shout unto You this morning. You are good and Your mercy endures forever. You are faithful. There's none like You. There's none like You. You are worthy. You are good. You are mighty. You are worthy to be praised. Father, there's no one like You. No one is powerful, as mighty, as loving, as kind as You. Father, I thank You for deliverance. I thank you for help. I thank you for change. We thank you, Lord. You're the God of healing. You're the God of prosperity. You're the God of victory. You're the God of deliverance. Father, when there is no way, you make a way. When there is no way, you make a way. We praise you, Father. We glorify you. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you this morning. Now, before we close, Darren, will you come back in here? I know you mentioned something about ribs. You can leave that there. It's fine. You put it on my heart to lay hands on you. The power of God's about to hit you for a supernatural cure for those ribs. You just close your eyes, lift your hands, and get ready to receive. Do you believe he can do it? Do you believe he wants to do it? Father, in the name of Jesus, be free. Be free in the name of Jesus. We command supernatural healing to those ribs now in Jesus' name. Now let's thank him for it. Thank you, Lord. We praise you for it, Father. We bless you. We worship you and glorify you. We magnify you. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Thank you for your cooperation. Father, we love you this morning. We're so grateful. So thankful for what we received. Lord, we got our help. You put this on my heart a week ago. It's been stirring in there. Just ready to release this. It's help for people. It's help for people. Father, I pray people be doers of this, that it'll be branded on the inside of them, Lord, that this would burn bright in them and that they would walk out and make changes. And it doesn't make sense all the time. It doesn't seem like it's doing anything. And for someone like Pastor Nancy, what an example that for 2 weeks it seemed so dry. It seemed like nothing was happening. But Father, things were happening. You're faithful and your word is always true. So Father, we thank you today. And Lord, the thing that we're the most thankful for is your son Jesus. Thank you for salvation. Father, as I look around the room, I know everybody here has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I know that for a fact. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're listening online or in the future and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's so simple. He said in Romans chapter 10, if you just call on me, I'll save you. He said, I'm not worried about jumping through religious hoops. I'm not worried about church attendance. I'm not worried about, you know, your laundry list of things you've done wrong. Just call on my name. I'll save you. And all that looks like is just say, Lord, I believe in you. I ask you to come into my heart. I believe you died and rose again. Come into my heart. If you'll pray that prayer, John 3:16 says, if you'll just believe, you'll have eternal life. I don't know. It can't be that easy. It is. He loves you so much, he made it that easy. It's a free gift. So I just encourage you, if you pray that prayer for the first time or you cry out to him, ask him into your heart. Declare your belief in him. Email me. Give me a phone call. The number's on the website. The email's on the website. We'd love to get you going in your next step with God. He's got so much more for you. But with heads bowed, eyes closed, if you're here this morning, I don't do this very much, but it's on my heart to do it today. Actually, I hardly ever do this because I just try to follow what's on my heart for service, but if you're here this morning with heads bowed, eyes closed, and you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, you say, I've stepped away, I've walked away from him. I've not done things God's way, and I'm tired of it. Like, I'm ready to draw lines. I'm ready to go his way, and you want to make that consecration. Would you just lift your hand high in the air? I see those hands. I see, you can put them down. Thank you so much for your boldness. See, all those hands goes up. Why? That's what the Holy Ghost told me to. You've been in my services. I don't do rededications a lot. Well, it was needed today. Now, even if you didn't raise your hand, you know, the reason I ask people to raise their hands is because that's an outward act that you mean business. You're serious about it. Now, for those of you that raised your hand and for all the rest of us, with heads bowed, eyes closed still, the prayer of consecration is something that I believe we could pray every day and just consecrating our lives to him. And Lord, today I want to give you my life. I want to live for you. I want to speak what you'd want me to say. I want to go where you'd want me to go and be like you'd want me to be. And so I'm going to lead us all into a prayer to rededicate. And even if maybe we haven't stepped away from him or walked away, let's just all pray this prayer with the people that raise their hands, a prayer of rededication and meaning it for him. And we're just going to declare, we're going to repent for things we've done wrong, and then we're just going to make a declaration that, Lord, we're endeavoring to go your way. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, say this with me. Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning, and I ask you to forgive me for all my sins, for the times that I've walked away, for the times where I've not obeyed your word, for the times I've turned my back on you. I want to come back home today. So I ask you to forgive me. And I thank you, according to your word, that you will. And you'll not remember my sin. And Father, today I draw a line in the sand. And I say, I'm going your way. I will endeavor to follow the word of God, to follow the spirit of God, and live a life that is pleasing and glorifying to you. Father, I thank you for your help in this. I thank you for your mercy, your kindness, and your love. In Jesus' name. Now just thank him for it. He's not mad at anybody. He's ready to receive you back and get you back on his plan. Oh, how he loves you. We bless you, Lord. We magnify you. We praise you this morning. Thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before you run out of here, don't forget we have fellowship. What are we eating, Eddie? Chili, mac and cheese. I mean, ooh, you brought your appetite. So, Father, bless that food. We thank you that you will. And then don't forget.